Esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino fue una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time was a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
En la animación.
Sergio.
This is Peter Laws in Norman, Oklahoma. On the air since 1987, you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio about radio, every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and live streaming around the globe at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, February the 11th, 2024. We thank you for tuning into our show. We're here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. The other voice you'll hear is Jill. And we have several ways for you to listen to our show or to contact us. Email is radioreport@yahoo.com. Live streaming and archived, you can hear the show at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, we want to welcome Rick in Bell River, Ontario, and Jose in Brazil, bringing us to 957 members. The group is called International Radio Report. Look for it on Facebook, and you can join the group. Our YouTube channel is a great place for you to go and listen to the current show or previous shows that we've put up there. Look for us on YouTube at IRR is the contact info there, 942 subscribers. And our X account at IRRCKUT, we picked up a little number of followers this week. We're up to 45, so you can follow us there as well. All right, we'll get going right away. Lots of big stories going on this week. Just a final reminder, coming up on Tuesday is World Radio Day, UNESCO's event held on February the 13th every year. Different stations around the world will be doing different things to mark the occasion. You may want to contact your local radio stations, and chances are they don't know anything about World Radio Day. So let them know that it's coming up on Tuesday, and they should be celebrating the medium of radio. We've talked about it for a couple of weeks now. The theme is Radio, a Century, Informing, Entertaining, and Educating. So we took a quick look at the X account today, and there are lots of different events going on internationally. So check it out on X account. You can simply go to hashtag World Radio Day and see a list of all the events. And as we said, check out your local radio stations or inform your local radio station. The other big event coming up this weekend, later today, as a matter of fact, as you're tuned in here, is Super Bowl. Each year, millions of football fans can celebrate the Super Bowl, the National Football League's annual championship game. This year, it's the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. If you are one without a TV set, or you're out of the house and not at your TV set, you can listen to the game on radio. Here in Canada, the TSN radio network, including our Montreal station CKGM on 690, will be picking up the US feed from the Westwood One radio network. And in the United States, Westwood One sports affiliates will broadcast the game, and they have affiliates across the country. You can go to their website, westwoodonesports.com/stations, and you'll see all of their stations on a map, and you can look for the one closest to you. So if you're not watching the game, you can listen to it. Have fun. I don't know who you might be cheering for, but we just hope it's going to be a fun game, and we hope that Taylor Swift won't spend half the time on the camera during the game. It seems to be a big issue going on right now.
So we've got really big news here happening in Canada. BCE Inc. cutting 4,800 jobs, and it's selling off 45 regional radio stations. So this is via CBC News. BCE Inc. is selling off 45 of its 103 regional radio stations as it cuts 9% of its workforce, including journalists and other workers at its Bell Media subsidiary. The affected stations are in British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, and Atlantic Canada. the company announced Thursday in an open letter signed by Chief Executive Mirko Bibic that 4,800 jobs at all levels of the company would be cut. This round of job cuts is the company's largest in nearly 30 years, Bibic said during a Thursday morning conference call. Some employees have already been notified or were to be informed Thursday of being laid off, while the balance will be told by the spring. Bibic said the company will use vacancies and natural attrition to minimize layoffs as much as possible. It marks the second major layoff at the media and telecommunications giant since last spring, when 6% of Bell Media jobs were eliminated and 9 radio stations were either shuttered or sold. In a separate internal memo, Bell Media president Sean Cohen said the company intends to divest 45 radio stations to 7 buyers: Vista Radio, White Oaks, Durham Radio, My Broadcasting Corp, Zoomer Media, Arsenal Media, and Maritime Broadcasting. The sales are subject to CRTC approval and other closing conditions. That's a significant divestiture. It's because it's not a viable business anymore, said Bell Chief Legal and Regulatory Officer Robert Malcolmson in an interview with the Canadian Press. We will continue to operate ones that are viable, but this is a business that is going in the wrong direction. The company declined to say how many of the total job cuts were at Bell Media specifically. Malcolmson said Bell Media is in the midst of a digital transformation for both entertainment and news. But whether or not prioritizing digital growth is viable for the company in terms of generating profit remains to be determined. We're investing in it, we'll see, says Malcolmson. Without some form of regulatory supports, it's tough. He blamed the federal government for taking too long to provide relief for media companies, as well as the CRTC for being too slow to react to the crisis that is immediate. And of course, there's the list of all the stations that are being sold. So it's interesting that a business that apparently is not viable, that other companies are interested in buying the stations.
Yeah, you know, they only announced this story late this week, and they already have buyers for all of these 45 stations that they're going to let go. So obviously, this is something that's been in the works for quite some time. You don't have this sort of thing happen overnight. You know, there's no talk about, you know, how, what's the value on a station which BCE says is not viable any longer. You know, how do you put a price on that? But very quickly, all of these companies have stepped forward, some of them which seem to be fairly new. We haven't gone and looked up all of these new these companies that are. A lot of people, there's been a lot of talk online from people inside and outside radio as to, you know, what are they going to do with these radio stations? The hope is that they're going to make them more local, more regional, serving markets that, you know, more or less have been fed generic programming from a network station. So we'll have to wait and see. The CRTC has to approve the sales to begin with, and then the companies decide what it is exactly that they're going to be using the stations for. Some will be low-powered relays of other stations, so it's going to be a little while before all of this gets sorted out. There is a television aspect to all of this as well. There's a lot of cuts going on in local news broadcasts throughout the day, which has really got a lot of people upset as well. What's interesting is there's been immediate reaction from politicians going right to the top. These stories we just found in response, you know, a day after the announcement. The headline, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he's furious over Bell Media layoffs, calling it, quote, a garbage decision. Trudeau is trash-talking BCE Incorporated's widespread layoffs, calling the cuts a garbage decision. Trudeau says he's furious over Bell Media's decision to end multiple television newscasts and that the corporation should know better. Trudeau said large corporations have bought up radio stations, small community newspapers, and local outlets only to lay off journalists and change the quality of their offerings. He said, when readership and viewership then decline, corporations sell off and say they're not profitable, eroding local journalism and Canada's democracy. The Canadian Heritage Minister stepped forward, Pascal Saint-Onge, is accusing Bell Media of breaking its promise to invest in local news after the company was granted more than $40 million in annual regulatory relief. Ironically, that's the same amount the company says its news division, which includes CTV News and BNN Bloomberg, is losing annually. Facing $40 million in annual operating losses, Bell Media is cutting the 4,800 jobs amid across-the-board cuts at its parent company, BCE, which has higher overall operating revenue than a year ago. So very contradictory here.
Yeah.
You get handed $40 million and then you say, well, you know, we're that much in the hole. Hard to believe. Out west in Canada, in British Columbia, Premier is calling out corporate vampires after BCE announces their layoffs and the sale of radio stations. Premier of British Columbia went on a 2.5-minute tirade Thursday morning as he called out the parent company of Bell Media, which had earlier announced thousands of layoffs and the sale of dozens of local stations in communities across Canada. On behalf of all British Columbians that have watched their local news station slowly turn to garbage by these companies, who now say, unsurprisingly, that there is not a lot of support for them, I just want to say, shame on you. Premier David Eby said at an unrelated news conference in Coquitlam, BC. Bell and other companies like Bell have overseen the assembly of local media assets that are treasures to local communities. They bought them up like corporate vampires, sucked the life out of them, and laid off journalists. Eby called on Ottawa to intervene, arguing companies like BCE were given the green light to acquire television and radio stations from federal regulators. I find it reprehensible. I think it's appalling. And Bell and other companies like Bell that have done this need to be held accountable for the information atmosphere that we find ourselves in today. One local note for our listeners here in Montreal, well-known announcer on CJD Radio, Aaron Rand, posted a personal message on his Facebook page indicating that his co-host on his afternoon show, Natasha Hall, has been let go after a number of years of having worked with him. So that's one sort of high-profile person let go at the local CJD, which is a station that is one of the stations that they're not getting rid of. It's one of their more profitable stations. Yeah. So even those stations that they're holding on to are probably going to be losing people.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun, first of all, a couple of hours ago, as we're recording this on the Friday, has unleashed a X3.4 class solar flare. And it's a pretty powerful flare. That could be an indication of the week to come, actually, with some sunspots, including AR3576. That is a very complex and huge sunspot that also is predicted that it could have X-class solar flares, too. The sunspot number is 149, this solar flux 185. And, of course, if you want to witness the effects of solar flares and all that has to do with propagation, well, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Port every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
So this is a very intriguing story coming up. A entire 200-foot tower stolen from WJLX 1240 AM in Jasper, Alabama. So this is via Inside Radio from Mickey Dalmage in Sherwood Park, Alberta. Thieves toppled and stole the 200-foot tower of Classic Hits WJLX AM 1240 in Jasper, Alabama. The theft was discovered late last week and also included the transmitter and other equipment. Station owner and general manager Brett Elmore broke the news on the station's Facebook page on Friday, February 2nd. This is going to get out eventually, so I might as well make it public before it does. I have heard of thieves in this area stealing anything, but this one takes the cake. Station owner and general manager Brett Elmore wrote in a posting this morning, "My bush hog crew went down to a tower site we have to do an early cleanup of the property before we did some more work down there. When we arrived, he called and he notified me that not only was my building vandalized, but my 200-foot tower was gone. They stole every piece of equipment out of the building, cut the guy wires to the tower, and somehow managed to down a 200-foot tower and take it from the property. Jasper police are investigating, and hopefully they will find who did it. It is a federal crime to tamper with a federally licensed facility. If you have any information, please call the Jasper Police Department at 205-221-2121. WJLX is a Class C AM station that operates at 1,000 watts. The station continues to broadcast via its FM translator, the Jasper-licensed W268BM at 101.5 FM. I don't see some guy off the street doing this, Elmer told Inside Radio. This looks like a professional hit. Local broadcasting colleagues are offering help to possibly find a temporary transmitter location. WJLX is a special place for Elmore, a second-generation broadcaster. That's where I first went on the air, he shares. After the tower theft, Elmore says, honestly, I can say that I've seen it all. This may be the first theft of a full radio tower. Thieves have been known to target radio towers for their copper. Last month, copper thieves toppled the tower of Payne Media Group Country, K95.5, KITX, in Hugo, Oklahoma, knocking the station off the air and causing nearly $500,000 in damage. Also in January, WAYN, Rockingham, North Carolina, on 900, was knocked off the air when copper wires were stolen and damage was done to the tower electronics. In May 2023, Agape Communications Adult Standards KSGL, Wichita, Kansas, on 900, saw their tower go dark when vandals stole hundreds of feet of copper wiring from its transmitter site. So this is interesting. How can you go away with 200-foot tower with no one noticing anything?
Well, an AM transmitter, too. If they took the transmitter, AM transmitters are not small items.
Yeah.
So they took that. They took all the equipment. They took the tower. The antenna is on the tower, so I guess that went with it.
Yeah.
The puzzling thing here is how long did it take for somebody to realize that their transmitter was gone and the station was off the air? That's the puzzling part here. You know, it's like that old saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear it? Well, if a tower falls down and somebody steals it, does anybody hear the station? Probably not, but maybe nobody was listening for a while. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. Or if they're listening on the FM translator or streaming, well, yeah, you might not notice that the AM signal was gone, but still.
Yeah. To only find out when his crew was going down to the site to do some work is what's really puzzling me.
Yeah.
Anyway, strange story, and it got all kinds of media coverage all over the world, literally. This story popped up, so pretty amazing. There's a somewhat similar story, maybe not as dramatic as that one. And this one comes from Ellie Karras at Radio World. Concrete truck brings down WNIX's radio tower. It's safe to say that the last few days have been more than trying for a couple of AM radio stations. They go on to talk about the ones that we just mentioned, but also in Mississippi, WNIX's 199-foot tower has been hit, but not by thieves. On Sunday, foundation was being poured for WNIX's new transmitter building when a concrete truck on site backed into a guy wire, causing the tower to collapse. Located in the northeast side of Greenville, Mississippi, the radio tower has stood tall since 1994. As of Tuesday afternoon, both WNIX 1330 AM and its 101.1 FM translator, which operates from the same tower, are off the air, although the station continues to stream online. It's a news talk radio station licensed to Greenville, broadcasting 3.8 kilowatts during the day and 55 watts at night. The station is owned by Delta Radio. Fuss told the owner, the president and CEO told Radio World that it will take a while to repair such extensive damage. The construction company didn't even bother to call us and let us know what happened. We didn't discover the damage until Monday when we couldn't get the AM transmitter to come back up remotely. He said WNIX engineer Russell Lafferty will be on site Wednesday and plans to have the AM signal back on the air with the help of an unused tower from the station's old directional array. The translator, however, will be going on air courtesy of a standby one-bay NICOM antenna that will be mounted on the STL tower at the studio. Before the tower's collapse, the translator was using a two-bay antenna, which can be seen in one of the photos in the article. Ultimately, we have to put the permanent tower back up along with the new FM antenna for the translator. That's going to take some time. Fuss said he is in contact with the construction company's insurance carrier, which should hopefully be footing the bill. When did they realize that they weren't on the air? Or yeah, maybe somehow it was still transmitting, but poorly while it was lying on the ground?
It's possible.
Again, it's not really clear.
Yeah, and some guy in his truck went, oops, and ran off.
Yep.
So upcoming now, we have a little story from NPR reaching hostages and prisoners through Israeli and Palestinian radio. It's a little six-minute audio clip to listen to.
One of the biggest sources of anguish for Israeli and Palestinian families in nearly 4 months of the Gaza war is the large number of hostages and prisoners taken by each side. Some were released early in the war, and there are talks now about releasing more. But there are still thousands of family members in the dark about the fate of their loved ones. So they're trying to reach them through the radio, as NPR's Daniel Estrin reports.
Every morning, Israel's number one drive time radio show dedicates a song to one of the Israeli hostages in Gaza.
Chaim Peri.
The anchor, Hadar Marks, says Chaim Peri is 79 years old. He and more than 200 Israelis were taken hostage on October 7th during Hamas's deadly ambush, the largest number of civilians taken captive in Israeli history. The anchor addresses this hostage and says, we will meet, and things will be good. She says, I hope you can hear this, and plays a song by one of his favorite singers. This is not just wishful thinking. About half of the hostages were released a couple months ago in an exchange for hundreds of Palestinian detainees, and some of them said their guards had let them listen to Israeli radio while they were held in Gaza. The distances here are short. Radio frequencies reach across borders. Here's an example.
Hi, קוראים לי גיל דיקמן מתל אביב. השבוע נפרדנו מכנרת גת, בת 68 מקיבוץ ברי.
Gil Dickman recorded this message, which aired on Israeli public radio. He spoke about his aunt, who was killed on October 7th, and his two cousins, who were taken hostage. He told us that when one of his cousins was released, she told the family she'd heard that broadcast in captivity. That's how she learned what had happened to her other relatives, and how she knew her family understood she was being held in Gaza.
People tell you, if she listens to you right now, what would you say? What would you want her to hear? And I always feel like, okay, no way she can hear me. But it turns out that thanks to the fact that radio is such an analog platform, it was possible.
It's the only Israeli channel of communication reaching some of the hostages.
She said that that was one of the most important things for her while she was in captivity, keeping her strong, knowing that her husband and child are still alive, and that we fight for her.
Some of the released hostages say they didn't have any access to a radio or TV in captivity. But the fact that some did has changed how Israeli radio is broadcasting now.
Abba.
Galei Tzahal, Israeli Army Radio, is the country's most listened to broadcaster. Every day it airs messages from Israelis to their relatives captive in Gaza. Turn the dial to Palestinian radio, and you'll hear something similar.
Ajyal. من رام الله من فلسطين
Radio Ajyal is based in the West Bank city of Ramallah. Every week, it broadcasts voice messages from Palestinians to their family members in Israeli jails. Here's a short voice message the radio station played. It's from 18-year-old Dima Ali. Her father, Alaeddin Ali, was taken away by Israeli soldiers 5 days into the war. She addresses her dad and says, "Everything at home is fine. University's good. Don't worry about us." She has no idea if he's heard it.
We have no connection to reach to him or to speak with him. Where's the human rights? Where's the prisoner rights? Even the lawyer can't reach to him.
In the past, Israel accused him of having ties to Hamas, which the family denies. During this war, Israel has detained thousands of Palestinians. More than 8,000 are jailed now.
It's horrible after October 7th inside the Israeli prison.
Radio Ajyal's editor-in-chief, Walid Nassar, says the station has been flooded with short voice messages since the start of the war, because Israel has cut off the connection prisoners had to outside the prison walls. Palestinian prisoners are no longer allowed family visits. The Red Cross no longer gets access to deliver letters between families and prisoners. Lawyers are given minimal access to meet prisoners. Israel says the measures are to prevent prisoners from coordinating attacks from inside jail. Palestinian prisoner advocates call it a policy of revenge.
So these messages are very crucial for the prisoners inside the prisons when they can't reach the outside communication.
For Palestinian and Israeli families, the concern is not knowing about their loved ones in extreme and difficult conditions. Some Israeli hostages and Palestinian detainees have died while being held. There are growing allegations of physical abuse against Palestinians in Israeli jails and even sexual abuse against Israelis in Hamas captivity. The head of Israeli Army Radio, Dani Zaken.
I can't do any comparison between these two populations, these two groups, hostages and prisoner terrorists. It's totally different. Here it's civilians mostly, hostages, and the Palestinian prisoners, most of them, are terrorists.
Israel says it's arrested Hamas activists since the war began. Many detainees are held without charge, a tactic criticized by human rights groups. Israel says it's needed to prevent future attacks.
And in war against terror, you have to do some measures. Among them is lots of arrests. That's part of the war. After saying that, I can say that, of course, as every family that have her, the one that she loves, in jail, and I can understand what they're doing.
Since the war began, Israeli prison authorities say they've been confiscating radios from Palestinian prisoners. So who knows how many radios are left today for Palestinian detainees in Israel or for Israeli hostages in Gaza. But Israeli and Palestinian radio stations are still broadcasting these messages. If anything, to give the families a platform to speak. And because you never know who's listening. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, from Ramallah and Tel Aviv.
And so this shows the importance of radio. And it's interesting in the story to see that they're trying to take away the radios of the different people so that they can't listen in. But that shows just how important radio is in these situations. So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
A few things coming up for you, including one fairly large one if you're a CW operator. First off, though, an event organized by the Penn Ohio DX Society. It is their 070 Club Valentine Sprint. Of course, Valentine's Day coming up. 0000 to 2359 Zulu on the 14th of February. The purpose is to work as many amateur stations on 40, 80, and 160 meters using PSK-31. And that, of course, is the mode for that particular contest.
We have the Netherlands Telegraphy Club QSO Party, 1900 to 2000 Zulu, February 15th. It is not really a contest, but the goal is to stimulate activity and practice CW in and around the Netherlands. 80, 40, and 20 meters, and it's CW only.
And the big event is organized by the American Radio Relay League. It's ARRL's International DX Contest, CW, 0100 Zulu, February 17th to 2359 Zulu, February the 18th. The objective is to encourage American and Canadian stations to expand knowledge of DX propagation on the HF and MF bands, improve operating skills, and improve station capability by creating a competition in which DX stations may only contact American or Canadian stations. It's 160 through 10 meters, and it is CW only.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in. Tune in again next week. I'm sure we'll have updates, particularly to that Bell story and whatever else is happening out there in the world of radio. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Oh,